This is part two of our extended conversation with Congresswoman Cindy Axne, who was elected just last year to represent the 16 counties that make up Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. So much going on here in Iowa and in Washington, D.C., and we thought you might be interested.
They're known as some of the original recyclers. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association is a sponsor of the Business News Hour. With members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, delivering ag parts to farmers and ranchers. NTPDA.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour, our conversation with Congresswoman Cindy Axne, who represents the 3rd Congressional District here in the great state of Iowa. One of two freshman legislators that went to Congress, the other from Congressional District 1, I believe it is, and that would be Abby Finknauer?
Yes.
And you. So are you guys buds?
Oh, absolutely. It's great to be out there with her.
I have another friend who's in Congress. He has been there a little bit longer than you, and his name is Ro Khanna.
Ah, yes.
And Ro is coming back, by the way, to Iowa the first week, and I wish it was in your district, but it's not. Jefferson, Iowa, and that whole pillar technology thing. He's coming back to kind of do that celebration in September, so it'll be nice to see him again.
So Ro and I are working on a rural broadband bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah. He is so hot. I mean, here's a guy from Silicon Valley who gets it.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I think, you know, he really wanted to find a partner that he felt could really bring a different voice to that broadband bill, especially somebody who comes from a state like Iowa, where we have a much lower connectivity rates
right.
than some of his folks in California. And I bring a different, you know, understanding of what needs to get done as well from my work at the state. And having worked closely with organizations like Iowa Communications Network and understanding how important things like rural broadband is to a state like Iowa. So I'm working on that with him, and I'm on the WIPS Rural Broadband Task Force. So I'm bound and determined to make sure that we bring opportunity to every part of the state and get everybody connected.
Because it is an economic leveler.
Absolutely.
It really is. And people sometimes, if you're living in urban areas and you've got all kinds of download speeds or upload speeds, whatever you happen to have, you know, and you're doing terabytes and gigabytes and all, you know, and then you go out to some of the places, and I've been there in Iowa, that are still running off a 56K modem.
Well, yeah. I mean, we have children whose parents have to pile them into cars and go sit outside the McDonald's in town with a laptop so they can do homework. That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
We aren't able to address things like diabetes and mental health, which are very prominent issues in all across the state, but in particular in a lot of our rural areas. In telehealth would be such a great tool for that. So there's a lot that we need to be doing to address people's needs, and I think rural broadband is the electrification of today.
It is. This is the TVA
yep.
of today, the Tennessee Valley Authority. just for those history buffs that are out there. All right, let's talk about some specifics. If we can. And let's talk about the graying, if you will, of Iowa and in the 3rd District. With older Iowans on the farm or in town, wherever it happens to be, they're also getting squeezed right now because their incomes are often very static, but costs continue to rise. What are we doing about that and caregiving as it stands? You know, one of the things in Iowa, and because I used to be in long-term health care, our Medicaid reimbursement levels really are horrible. And we say that people who are over the age of whatever are our most valued treasure. But at the same time, we don't act like that when it comes to services.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. And as a matter of fact, I really want to make sure that every single Iowan has an opportunity to retire with dignity. Our older population is near and dear to my heart. I've been somebody who has volunteered with the elderly throughout my adult life. I think that in this country, we do lack the services to help people retire with dignity in the way that we should. There are a lot of people who can fall through the crack as a result of that because they truly are just living off of their Social Security from a low income to begin with. And so we have a lot of folks who are failing at this point. Listen, one of the latest things that I did, and you just brought up Representative Finkenauer, is write a letter with Representative Finkenauer and Representative Loebsack to the Social Security Administration, asking them how they are going to address the issue of an aging population, in particular how that will affect Iowa when they're laying people off and not filling positions at Social Security, and people need answers to make sure they can get those hard-earned benefits that they worked for. So that's one thing that I've done, is to make sure that the structures that we have in place are going to accurately reflect the needs of the people who are using them. Our first step is to try and get some good understanding of what that looks like. I've also worked, of course, I mentioned earlier, on prescription drug bills, which is so important to lowering the cost of prescription drugs. One of the things that I worked on earlier was to protect seniors from fraud. That was the Stronger Enforcement of Civil Penalties Act, which increases penalties for bad actors who try and take advantage of seniors. We've all heard about these phone calls, mailers, whatever, but we don't have we didn't have a good federal law on the books to hold these people accountable. Now we're going to make that happen. And then finally, co-sponsoring bipartisan legislation to protect multi-employer pensions. So folks who might have pensions from multi-employers, to ensure that they get those pensions that were supposed to be due to them.
Mm. You know, on the topic of pensions, we just had a news story the other day about lawsuits and 401ks. There's a number of lawsuits out there, and this is important for people to understand. There's a number of lawsuits, and they have intensified because of lack of transparency, high costs of keeping those in force, and sometimes packing 401ks with company stock, which can then not be as diversified. So it is a real issue. I mean, so to your credit, and these are serious things, because of course we've got a rapidly aging group of people. I mean, a lot of folks now over the age of 60.
We do, and expanding every single day, and we need to make sure that we take care of our older population. It's incredibly important that we show that value in the work that we do out in Congress.
One of the things that the current administration ballyhooed much about, Cindy, was infrastructure. They were going to spend trillions of dollars on infrastructure, which would bring jobs to places throughout the 3rd Congressional District. Ain't nothing happened. But people say, oh, yeah, this is the answer.
Well, and we are going to be working on an infrastructure bill in the House, because exactly to your point, the president had said this is something that he wants to work on. And then, of course, when they brought it up a couple of years ago, it would have passed a huge portion of the cost onto local and state government, which, of course, we wouldn't have been able to absorb. So it wasn't the right approach to infrastructure. My goodness, we need infrastructure. We have so many derelict roads and bridges in Iowa. We have water and sewer systems that are 100 years old that are ripe for failure, pipes that aren't equipped to deal with today's flow that they have. We have issues. Our airports need funding, which I'm trying to help with that as
well. Well, there's
one. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time I see Mr. Foley from the Des Moines International Airport, it's always about when is Congress going to let loose of funds so that they can upgrade the airport? Because now we're getting to critical mass out there. And every year that it goes by, it's going to cost more money.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I'm working with them on, and I hope that we can get passed through Congress, it's seen support before, is the passenger fee charge that we pay. We already pay on a ticket. It was established in 1990. It's around $4, and we haven't seen an increase since the year 2000. It should be around $8 per ticket, so each way. What this will do, it will give money to airports across the country to actually upgrade their terminals to the levels of that they're seeing right now. We're going to see 3 million people on average continue to go through the Des Moines Airport. That's a lot of travel, and we aren't structured the way we need to. So we need to pass this. And let me tell you, the only ones who aren't in support of it are airlines, because they want to control how many flights come in and out of particular airports and control their monopoly. If we were able to charge a little bit higher on a passenger fee, and I can tell you, I talk to folks on planes all the time, they said they would happily pay this because it's a user fee, it's not a tax, and what it would do would improve services so that more airlines could come in, force competition, and prices would go down.
That's the way it is, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's supposed to be the way it is. Congresswoman Cindy Axne, ladies and gentlemen, representing the 3rd Congressional District in Iowa, talking about a whole host of things. And all of that infrastructure, all of that creates good-paying jobs at the same time.
Great-paying jobs.
Yeah. And one of the interesting things, and again, we had this story not very long ago, according to the Labor Department, there are 7.5 million jobs out there in the United States that are empty. And only 6 million people looking for jobs. And I would suspect that business would start to take a look at serious immigration policy so that difference can be narrowed.
I couldn't agree with you more. And as a matter of fact, I just was talking with folks from Iowa Poultry Association, and it's one of the things that they said, Mike. They, across the board, in particular in our agriculture community, they want to see us have more opportunity to bring in immigrants to help with the work shortage. They're paying $15, $20, $25 an hour in a lot of their jobs in these facilities, and they don't have enough people to come and do the work. So we do have a need. They actually left me a document of the 3 different types of visas they'd like to see expanded. So our industries want to see more happen with immigration so that we can have more workers here to help us grow our economy. We just need to make sure that Congress listens and understands how important immigration is and that how important immigrants are to our economy here in Iowa and other parts of this country.
Yeah, it would seem that would be a logical answer to part of the problem. I know that the recent immigration raids that happened in the South, there's 580 jobs that were taken out of production. I'm not sure if they're going to find anybody to go back to the chicken killing facilities. You know, how do you do this?
Yeah, I think they're going to have a real tough time. Absolutely.
All right, let's turn the page for just a moment and talk about healthcare again, outside of pharmacies and drug costs. You know, there's a lot of talk, and all the presidential candidates are talking about. There's either Medicare for All, the option, public option. Where are you on this?
Well, I'm where I was when I started this race. I want to shore up the Affordable Care Act and introduce a public option. I believe that everybody should have access to affordable quality health care. I think it's going to be our most effective way to get there, be the most cost effective and the most efficient to get everybody to that affordable quality place. Listen, Mike, I just did a 13-county rural health care tour this past, over the last several months. We have healthcare deserts across this country. We have folks who are taking half of their medicines because they can't afford it. We have a lack of physicians and an inability to get those out into many of our areas. And quite honestly, we have laws in place that are really restrictive on how some organizations can operate. When a rural health clinic is delivering the same service as a hospital-owned clinic, but by its nature isn't owned by a hospital and doesn't get reimbursed at 100% of its cost, it gets reimbursed at 80%. How are they supposed to stay in business and serve the folks in Guthrie County? So that we were just talking about some of our older Iowans, so that 80-year-old older Iowan doesn't have to drive an hour to West Des Moines and find a new doctor and do all of that. But that's what's happening when they don't get reimbursed at a cost to cover their cost. So I've been working on a lot. That's one of the bills I wrote, was to stop that practice and up those reimbursement rates. I also wrote a bill that eliminates the requirement of having a physician on site in rural clinics and hospitals for work that doesn't require a physician. So
a PA could do some of these things.
Lab work, okay? Right. So real easy to go into Mercy or Methodist here and know there's going to be a doctor on site, right?
Right.
Absolutely. But you could walk into a hospital, a critical access hospital in one of our smaller towns, and unless a doctor's there to do rounds that day or a specialized doctor's there to deliver a specific service, they might not have a doctor on site. So why shouldn't they be able to just get services that don't require a doctor? That's all these crazy loopholes within the Affordable Care Act, that if we start sorting those things out, we start fixing the system so it works better for people and also saves on cost. But I still believe that we should introduce a public option where anybody can buy into Medicare or Medicaid and give people the option of deciding what insurance works for them. And when we do introduce that public option, it will force competition within insurance companies, and they're going to have to be reactive and lower their rates so that they actually can deliver services at a price that's affordable.
One of the things since the requirement to have insurance was taken out of the Affordable Care Act, what we've actually seen are the number of people who have health insurance decline in this country, because they say, well, you know, I don't need this kind of stuff. And so when something does happen, or if it does happen, you know, again, we're back to the emergency room, or, you know, the high cost of healthcare versus taking care of it.
Well, Mike, it's completely reflective of our entire system, which is opposite from almost every other nation like ours around the world. We spend the majority of our funding on catastrophic critical care as opposed to preventative care. If we would spend more funding up front to provide better preventative care to folks, we would save a heck of a lot more money on the back end, and overall our entire cost on healthcare in general would go down.
If Rick Smith were with us right now, and you would know Rick Smith, an Urbandale friend of both of ours, he would be clamoring to ask about
climate change.
I think that's his middle name, Rick Climate Change Smith. This is an issue that is going to impact, has already impacted agriculture. It's impacted industry. We're taking a look at mass migration. If we think mass migration right now is an issue, so our water quality, our air quality, and rising temperatures.
Well, we are actively addressing climate change in the House. I couldn't agree with you more that it's one of the we have to address this issue. And I think, you know, I'm about the only elected official talking about it as being a key component of the flooding on the Missouri River.
Hello.
We have seen in the past that much water flowing out of Gavin's Point Dam from South Dakota. We have seen that much rain coming from our tributaries on the Iowa side. What we haven't seen is a cyclone blizzard dropping massive amounts of snow on the Rockies and Central Plains that then melted into the Platte River and met up at the same time, causing that massive flooding. So you're absolutely right. We've seen this huge devastation as a result of climate change and some other factors as well. I'm not saying there aren't. But, you know, climate change impacted it dramatically. Our farmers are seeing increased droughts and floods. We have new pests that have come about because of a couple degrees in temperature change. We're at a point in our country where if we do not address this, there's no turning back. And I couldn't agree with folks more. That's why the Speaker has appointed a special task force on climate who is actively working towards solutions. They are developing within the Energy and Commerce Committee a bill towards a clean climate and renewable energy society by 2050 that I think is it's going to be a solid, well thought out approach to addressing the issue. In the meantime, we know we've got to move forward in many other areas to address it. We're working on creating battery storage, for instance. So right here in Iowa, we produce wind, right? And we do solar. But when wind isn't being produced and solar isn't being produced, we'd love a place to store it so that we could use it during times where we aren't producing it and so that we could sell it. So I'm working with some folks to talk about how we can start establishing battery storage facilities around the country. You put those battery storage facilities there, smart grid technology will come because there will be demand to use that reserve energy that we're able to store now and sell it economically. I see Iowa as having so much potential to continue to grow as the renewable energy state in this country, and I'm going to do everything I can to push that agenda.
Cindy Axne, ladies and gentlemen, spending time with us on the Business News Hour as we talk about a host of issues. Thank you. so very much for doing this. I know your schedule is crazy busy. You've been able to stay at home here in Iowa for a couple of days. That's got to feel good.
Oh, it's been lovely.
See the kids?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, when you want to spend extra time with your teenage boys, you know Washington's bad, right?
Yeah. Well, good luck to you, and we will be obviously watching this race very closely in the future. Thank you again.
Glad to be here.
Once again, that was Congresswoman Cindy Axne, who represents Iowa's 3rd Congressional District, some 16 counties in the U.S. House of Representatives. We want to thank her for her time for that extended conversation. Now, that about wraps it up for another broadcast day. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett, exclusively for the Business News Hour. For all those folks and Congresswoman Axne, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.